We're talking to David Hawkins. I love talking to David Hawkins, one of the most knowledgeable people about Congress in the entire country and therefore the entire world. He's an editor of Congressional Quarterly's Roll Call, author of the Hawkins Here blog and column. You can get him on Twitter. You can get him online. He's covered Congress in various positions at CQ since 1995. David, I've left the best for last. We've been talking about Congress, about the way things have gone, the elections. Now I want to come to the place which a lot of Americans are looking at right now, the United States Senate. And, you know, the House I described as being pretty much an autocracy. What the Speaker says is what's going to happen, but not the Senate. Maybe you could talk about that a bit.
Right. Not the Senate. Of course, you know, anybody, if you remember your high school civics, you understand that the power in the Senate resides with the individual senators much more than in the House. Every state has the same number of senators, and they have each senator has the theoretical power to slow things to a crawl. And that's what the filibuster is all about. And the way you break a filibuster is you have to come up not with a simple majority, but with 60 votes. So after the election, the Republicans lost just two seats in the end. They got 52 of their own seats to play with. But if they want to break a Democratic filibuster, that means theoretically they got to get 8 Democrats to come to their side. Now that filibuster used to be true for virtually everything. It is not allowed to be used on as many things as it used to be. It cannot be used. Filibusters can no longer be used to stop confirmations of any judges. The only except for the Supreme Court. So a filibuster can be the Democrats could filibuster Donald Trump's first nominee or any of his nominees for the Supreme Court. It's also the case that a filibuster cannot be used to stop certain kinds of budget bills. So if Donald Trump and the Republicans want to repeal and replace Obamacare, they can come up with a procedure that shields that bill from a filibuster. It's a fancy word that you might hear in the next few months called reconciliation, that they can make it a reconciliation bill. They can do it without a filibuster. But on most routine business, on most policy bills and on the Supreme Court nominees, a filibuster is still the way to go if you're a Democrat and you are trying to stop the Trump agenda from happening. So
now they could change that. Wait. Tell us what the nuclear option is.
So the nuclear option, which was used, it was a limited nuclear strike from a couple of years ago, was what took the filibuster away from what essentially did away with the filibuster on all judicial nominees except for the Supreme Court. And a more comprehensive nuclear option would be if the Republicans, if Mitch McConnell, the just reelected majority leader of the Senate Republicans, if he were to get frustrated at the Democrats, he could essentially muscle his way through to do away with the filibuster for all legislation or whatever he thinks he needs to do. Now, why doesn't he do that? The answer to why he doesn't do that is Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell is a fascinating figure, as many American politicians are. He is, on the one hand, a terrific tactician and very much of a situationalist. In other words, whatever works in this situation, I'm going to do to win. But on the other hand, he has been in Congress his whole life, much of his entire life. He began as a staffer. He's been a senator now since the mid 1980s. He reveres the institution. He respects its history. He has a genuinely strong belief that in that the Senate works best under this current system, and he knows full well that in the grand sweep of history, you're in the majority today, but you're not going to be tomorrow. And he looks way down the road and sees that eventually the Republicans will be in the minority again, and thinks, well, maybe I want to protect some future Senate's rights to mount their own filibusters when they're on the losing end. So by no means sure that the nuclear option is coming.
Now, here comes the next question, David Hawkins of Congressional Quarterly. There are some Republicans who have long memories about Donald Trump and who may not go along with him. You want to talk about them?
Sure do. I mean, you know, there are one would have to start that list with John McCain. John McCain, within a week of the election. He has yet to use Donald Trump's name, to my knowledge, in public, but he has said very harsh things, continues to say very harsh and critical things about Trump's attitude, Trump's approach of Vladimir Putin and Russia. So he would be number one with a bullet. Lindsey Graham, his best friend in the Senate, a man who ran briefly for president against Trump, and Trump famously got in such a spat with Lindsey Graham that he gave out his cell phone number on national TV. Lindsey Graham is in that camp. But for every one of those, there are senators who, while repudiating Donald Trump during the campaign, and I think the number got up as high as 13 Republican senators, at some point during the campaign said they couldn't vote for him, wouldn't vote for him, shouldn't vote for him. A handful of those guys came back even before the election, and a handful more since the election have issued very effusive statements.
And what about the man Trump called Little Marco? He needed Trump during the Florida campaign in order to get reelected. On the other hand, he's got to have a long memory.
Marco Rubio has a long memory. He's been quite quiet since the election. Ted Cruz, of course, would be another one we shouldn't go without talking about. Ted Cruz miraculously showed up in the lobby of the Trump Tower early in the transition, and we don't exactly know what that was about. Yes, there
what
is
do you
a
suspect?
Long memory, but as I said when we were talking about the House, it is also the case that most Republicans with national ambitions of their own, with future hopes of being president after Donald Trump, their posture is highly unlikely to be publicly critical of Trump at the outset. They are going to try to figure out a way to get to do his bidding, at least initially, to show because my view here is one of the things this election was about was a just figure it out down there in Washington and do something election, and the public wants Congress to do something. They want to get something done, and so it behooves the Republicans to work with Trump and some Democrats to work with Trump to get something done. In part because, if I may just sort of volunteer this, looking way down the road, or not too far down the road, the 2018 campaign begins today. The House is not going to change for the Democrats. In 2018, because of the fact that senators serve for 6 years, only one-third of the Senate is up, and because the Senate Democrats did really well in 2012 and 2006, there are 25 Democrats up for re-election in the next election. And 10 of them come from Trump states.
Wow. Well, and you didn't mention Rand Paul.
I didn't mention Rand Paul this time. No, Rand Paul, however, I think Rand Paul's days of running for president are over.
But not for president. But he would be another potential no vote, for example, on cabinet appointees. He's
correct.
Already made that clear.
Correct. Yes. So he's not running for president. So I would say he is inclined to. He's liberated to go against Trump as he sees fit. And as I think we talked about the last time, he has served notice that he does not like the people that any of the people that that we knew Trump to be talking about for Secretary of State, Rudy Giuliani, the former mayor of New York, or John Bolton, a guy who couldn't get confirmed as UN ambassador 10 years ago. So Rand Paul could be thorn in the side, number one.
So the Senate is, if you are somebody who is hoping that there might be some controls on Donald Trump, it's the Senate that we have to look to.
That is correct. Yeah, they are the bulwark. Chuck Schumer has taken is going to take control of the Senate Democrats at a fascinating time because it will really be up to him more than anybody else to decide whether the Democrats are going to be to try and when and if. That Democrats will try and collaborate with Trump, or if they will try and resist him at every turn. Famously, we talked about McConnell a few minutes ago. Famously, it was McConnell who 8 years ago said, my number one job as Senate Republican leader is to make sure that Obama is a one-term president, right after Obama got elected. Schumer has not said any such thing. Schumer has actually become remarkably more sort of taciturn and reserved. The longer he stayed in the Senate, I know those of us who paid attention to him. I mean, I grew up in New York when he was a young congressman, and you know, all the jokes about how he couldn't, he'd never stand in the way of in between Chuck Schumer and a TV camera. He's not that way anymore. He's more reserved. He's more strategic. He is more taciturn, even in the corridors of the Capitol. So he has not tipped his hand what he wants to do yet.
Always great to talk to our great friend, David Hawkins, from the Congressional Quarterly again. If you want to hear more from David Hawkins, you go to his blog, which is Hawkins Here. You could do it at on Twitter. So Hawkins Here, or you can go to Congressional Quarterly and look it up that way. David, we love having you on. You are so bright. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you so much. It was a blast.